Hey everybody, this is PD from the Spinner Rack, and we also have
Calvin Ellis, when we're ready to rock.
regretfully, we have to talk about not regretfully as far as regretfully of what happened to Ed Piskor, what he did to himself. Basically, I want to give you a history that the cartoonist kayfabe with Ed Piskor and Jim Rugg was probably one of the more popular comic book podcasts on YouTube shows. They had a lot of everything we planned to do with interviews we'd asked years before. They got them. They got Steranko. We talked to Steranko. I think Roy Thomas, everybody that Jeff Darrow, the guys that created the Turtles, the Alan Moore friends, is in everybody that's everybody has been on this show. They started doing videos where they go through old wizards. And then they just became kind of the center of all comic book stuff for a while there. They made their own comic books. It was I should have the books next to me right now, but they made their own comic books. They've done the grand design for the X-Men and the Hulk. There's also some stuff that Ed Piskor was doing with Fantagraphics, and he did a Hip Hop Family Tree. Less to get into with Jim Rugg, but he was also a big part of that show too. Did a comic book called Street Angel. And regretfully, we have to talk about the suicide of Ed Piskor. Cal, do you want to lead off from here?
Just a bit of a piece, because I don't have all of the data on this, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. But this starts with some text messages that are, or rather not text messages, but I think they were direct messages between Pisker and 17-year-old girl that had happened approximately 4 years ago. And she, for whatever reason, decided to make the messages public. After that, he lost whatever, I believe he lost whatever contracts he had, whatever he was working on. He got the usual venom from the the internet crowd. He then wrote a suicide note. I don't know if a lot of people took it seriously, but it was a suicide note that was also a bit of a bit of him defending himself. And the day after he wrote this, the day after he wrote the suicide note, or the same day, I'm really not sure as to the timeline, he committed suicide, and here we are today.
I think the one thing I know that was canceled, he was going to do a gallery thing with all of his, like a lot of his artwork. That was the thing that was initially canceled. And also being one of the top shows, because I've done a couple episodes. I think me and you also did maybe one together where we were going through something that they had done, and like where we had definitely critiqued them. I think I before the suicide, I backed off when the story came out because it felt like, shooting fish in a barrel, whether it was true or not. I've had issues with the show, just not the interviews, but to say the commentary they were having on the slant, because they have powerful friends and they kind of slant towards those friends. So I was kind of like building up this negativity towards it. But then when he's passing, I felt it'd be like I'm a guy who's been going at the show for a little bit. So I'm like, I'm going to pull back. But I really didn't want to him to follow through with the suicide. I mean, especially since he was being defended, since he was defending himself in the suicide letter, and whether or not his partner Jim Rugg put the show on hiatus or canceled the show, and said something that he didn't like. Ultimately, people, even your close people, you don't know if you can be canceled by your closest people for whatever you do. But at the same time, it was just hard hearing people joying that because of their dislike of the show, that Ed Piskor was now a groomer. He more people they the quote unquote more people were coming out, which we really haven't seen, but they keep saying these more people gonna come out and say something and prove him that. I did see his father on a video on the news defending him, which ultimately people say, well, that's what he's supposed to do.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Your parents, you don't have to. That's where, yeah, everybody thinks that, yeah, your folks should come out. they don't have to. And if they do, that hopefully does say something, and it says something past the baseline that most people would be looking at, that at the very, you know, his father is coming out to defend him because this is his son, and he believes his son has more value than what these people are going to ascribe to him at the end of the day. But I look at the whole thing, and I mean, it bugs me because I think, hey, this guy should still be alive.
Yes.
He, you know, I only, again, I don't have, I didn't bother reading any of the exchange between him and the girl. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of this, a lot of times, because this stuff seems to sit and wait, and then it, you know, comes up at like, you know, this particular moment, and then you have to deal with it. That seems to be how, you know, it happens with a lot of the people who end up being canceled. And this is everybody from, I forget, who's the guy who's a senator of Minnesota? Al Franken?
Oh, yeah, the joke he did, yes, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Al Franken, he's a senator. He was an effective senator. He was good. He was a good senator. Nobody had any problem with it. And they rolled him out. There was no investigation. And, again, he was never charged with anything that was criminal. But it was that he made, at best, he made people feel uncomfortable, and he was out. And you get totally stripped, okay? You don't have a friend in the world, or at least maybe that's the way that it feels, okay? And you're left isolated. And a lot of people will back off of you, okay? And in some cases, your own folks will back off of you. And by that, I mean your mom or your dad will back off of you too, okay? So the fact that his father was coming out and defending him, mm-hmm. okay? You know, for me, that does say a lot, because there's a big difference between, hey, you know, I'm going to privately do something and I'm going to publicly say, no, that's not my, you know, that's not him. Okay, that's not him. But I always find it interesting that we will come and say fictional characters. Oh, no, Peter Parker would never do that. But, you know, people in real life, we always shrug our shoulders like, hey, you never know, right? You never know someone. But, you know, I have a lot of empathy for his situation, where he feels that, and for anyone who feels that the only good road for them is just, you know, to exit this plane of existence. And I don't feel anybody should be made to feel like that. I don't feel anybody should have their back to the wall, because we really don't know how many people are just living on the edge of the night, and you don't find out until it's too late. Like, I don't understand what is the problem with due process, or, you know, letting something, you know, hey, if this is wrong and he did something wrong, let the punishment fit the crime. Because once he does this, everybody shrugs their shoulders and they're like, well, you know, he did it to himself. But, you know, I just believe that, you know, there is more value to a human being than a lot of times we ascribe. And I just feel I feel very sad when somebody feels that this is the only recourse. And you can say what you like about it, depending on what stance you would take. But I just think a human being has more value than a lot of times we ascribe to the person.
I think that's the portion of because I've been in a couple of discussions about this, and having the discussion where it went both ways. Someone said, I read the text, this, that, and the other. She's of age. You know, ultimately, some of the things about the way he was saying, he always had the angle of trying to sound, not to say he was being, was salacious, but it's like he does have a way of trying to, you know, be cool, you know, start with the K-E-W-L type of talk, but at the same time, you know, I think not his talk, but the way they took it and say, oh, you naughty girl, that was the comment that they were like, oh, this is the grooming part right here. And, you know, it gets to a thing where you kind of look at it and say, and since he was defensive of it, he was defensive is different, obviously, he was defending his name in the same suicide note. I really wish there was someone there to kind of talk to him and kind of pull him off the, take him away from the ledge, and so he could still be here. And I've talked to, you know, another friend, and we both had the thing of saying, you know, cool out, like do the what's that thing, the Joey Louis C.K. like get go out of town, go overseas, chill out, this, that, and the other. Let it blow over. Maybe find something there because, you, ultimately, there's other ways to work it if you've been kind of blackballed, which is ultimately this is what happened since there's nothing really criminal, besides, you know, I mean, you have to make this guys out there. This is the thing to guys to, you know, just even if they're young and they some text you for whatever reason. Don't do it, because we can't, you know, in this show I do a lot of examples, and if you do an example, then they say, because I was in a discussion with someone talking about the Freaknik, and she was like, why do you guys do that stuff, why do you guys, I was like, well, I didn't go to Freaknik, I went to the Greek Fest, and well, you, and it's just like, and the Puerto Rican Day Parade is like, what about getting numbers, like going up to approaching a girl, talking to them, getting their numbers, and making a call the next day. She just kept going. She's all just fucking with you at the same time. I was like, no, but you're going hard on the, I'm a part of this thing, and I'm a part of the guys that are the mashers of cone trying stuff. It's just like, you went to the Freaknik? You're down.
Yeah.
You did this. And it's just like, you can't get out of this thing where it's just like, there's no gray area. Everyone, I love this quote from, since we're a comic book site, that from Steve Ditko, when people came to him about, hey, they're screwing over Kirby and original art and this, that, and the other. Kirby deserved this, that, and the other. And he said, well, you know, wait a second. You know, maybe, and he was trying to say something. He's like, they started attacking him after he kind of soft shoe, and he's like, they're like a whole bunch of Mr. A's. Like, you got Steve Ditko saying you guys are extreme. Like, and that was my statement to say, he never saw himself as Mr. A. He might have been as close to it as anyone else could be, but he never really saw himself, like, he could argue that way, but people always turn his thing into, like, and that's the thing you want to, like, we don't want to, we have this word of grooming, and they've kind of taken it into, you know, it's such a gray area, because we even have instances where, I'm just going to say it, we have Kimora Lee Simmons' daughter with the 65-year-old, and they're like, they're basically going to grooming and saying this is set up from Russell, but it's like, she 21, she out there chilling, like on this island, like, some point when you're an adult and you make decisions, they got to be a part. And at the same time, the hard part is, you know, I've had family members that are older and they get used for their money, like very old, and they're with 21-year-olds in Florida, and they're just like, you know, the family is like, he's gonna lose his whole life savings. But you people now would reverse that and saying he's grooming them. So it's a tough thing when they look at these things, and you can only use the word grooming, this, that. You fly them somewhere, traffic, these words that we just kind of put people in the box, and there's no chance to defend yourself. I mean, even, oh man, I'm going too far on this, but ultimately, I didn't want our show to be like all these other people that I had issues with the show. I still watched it. I wasn't jealous of the show. I wasn't jealous in the sense, I do want to have those interviews like them, but I would not go in there and attack them and be like, yeah, see, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. I'm like, I want your commentary to be on and keeping the right context. That's all I want, because I like the show and I want the show to be better. I don't want this to happen, and I didn't want what happened before that to happen. I wish he was still here to do his thing, because he was a up and coming artist. The last stuff he was doing, the dark web comic, was not something that was my cup of tea, but I was a big fan of Hip Hop Family Tree, and I just liked the storytelling of the X-Men Grand Design. So, and you know, so he had something there for the industry, and ultimately, even if I wasn't always with the cut of his like, how, you know, how he talked or something like that from time to time. Like, I don't want anyone to go through something like that or feel down where you have no place to go, especially when ultimately his father was there. And that's the thing, if you can remember, if anyone's going through this, because I think everyone, this is, we should have try to find some sort of like sign to, for someone if they have an issue, because I've been in bad places and had negative things said about me, and been that, no money and all that stuff. Ask somebody, because at the points when I was at it, I was on my DMX thing, F the world, and I found a way through it. And ultimately, it wasn't the DMX part, it was the little bit of faith I had saying it's going to get better, and it got better. And then you go through another thing where it's like, oh man, I spent all this money and I make X amount of money a month when I'm 28. So I'm back to being, I'm not in a bad place, but I'm dead broke. I'm flat broke. Dead broke means you got no money. Flat broke means you can get money, but I was able to get out of that. So it's like in times of looking to the faith or whatever faith you have to kind of say, I can do this, or call somebody, even if you don't want them, you're too proud or too much pride to do it, definitely call someone, whether they understand or not. You could be the voice that could help you. And a lot of times people call, a lot of times people ask for help in the weirdest of ways, and you don't know if that could be the moment that can help you, so it, I guess this, when we talked about it initially, I was kind of iffy on it because doing it because I did have negative feelings about the show before this, and I didn't want it to turn into like all these other guys that were just like, I couldn't wa I watched one, I was like, what? Oh man. And I have this group where they always just say, they always send this stuff, and I'm just like, no, I'm not gonna send this. I'm just gonna hopefully it just blows over, or they figure it out and they deal with them. Because the hard part, I have to be honest, I have to say it. You have, who's that guy? Well, it's even a, did you hear the story about Scott Lobdell used to write the X-Men? He got charged with sexual harassment.
Yeah, I heard about that.
But he got charged with sexual harassment on a panel of asking questions to a person. It was how he was talking to them. It wasn't because he was
Yeah.
talking to them about sex, not actually. When you say sexual harassment, it's like he did something, but he was on a panel. He wasn't, groping her or anything like that. He was saying something about the, because he's like a, he's a, he used to be a comedian, so he probably was saying something dumb. And she didn't like it, so he had to publicly apologize. And his name, obviously, because of being guilty of this, of saying those things. But he ultimately, after that, made Happy Death. He wrote Happy Death Day. So it's like you can get through these things, especially if it's not, if you're not Dahmer. You don't find out that you're Dahmer, and you can, you feel you have a leg to stand on. You can get through this. So I want to say that to the people. And it's important, even though I was iffy on it when Cal brought it up, it was a good idea to do the show, so we're here.
Well, I'll take the other side of it. Yeah, I don't disagree. A lot of times it's going to take some perseverance. You're going to take some hits, and you're still going to have to, still put one foot in forward of the other. But the other part of it, and this is not about being empathetic, it's about just showing some bloody compassion at the end of the day, where if you're going to go and like, well, we don't like the show, and so now we're going to come over here and we're going to like totally, we're just going to this totally shred you, cancel you, to the point that you don't exist and we're never going to hear from you again because we don't like what you said on the show. Please remember, this person's value is not the show that they do, the show, that you hate and their commentary and so on and so forth. The human being just like you, and the same time, okay, where you have tough times, tough days, and you wish somebody would just, anybody would just take the time out to say, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? Think about that before you decide to go guns are blazing at someone. Because not everybody can take 9, 10 shots and come back from it. Some people, it just takes a graze because that's where they are, because they're already beat up about a whole bunch of other stuff. All right. And that's not to excuse anything that anybody does, but I just believe that people, it doesn't take a lot, regardless of the station that they're in, to just treat them like a human being. And if they've done something, hey, let the punishment fit the crime. But it can't be this overarching karmic boomerang for everything that they've ever did because you don't like them. Because trust me, for everybody who's like that, there are people out there who don't like you. and life gets very, very cheap and very, very short if we're all waiting for, like, hey, when's this person going to come for me? Okay, what did I say? Or what did I do? Who's been keeping tabs on me? That's not a way to live life. That's not a way to treat anybody. You know, so again, I just appeal to people, you know, there is more value to a human being than what you're going to ascribe to their job, okay, their position, okay, you know, and or the mistakes or even crimes that they commit. And it's not a big deal to treat people with compassion in spite of those particular things, because when they're gone, it's too late. And this is a guy who was still, this is a guy, in spite of how people felt about him, was very much loved by his father, obviously. Yeah. And now his father grieves, and none of these people over here are going to send, are going to do anything for that man who has lost his son. And if you have children, you know, the worst thing in the world is to outlive a child. The worst thing in the world is to have to bury your own child. So, you know, just try to keep these particular things in mind. You know, you don't, you want to see justice done? Okay. You want to see justice done. That's not justice. That's not justice in the slightest.
Well, that's the other thing. People have to also understand, you know, that this, I think in the sense of it's unwanted things and it's not, you know, not stalking, and you don't like the cut of what he's saying, is a block button. You know, I used it recently on Facebook when somebody said he was
key. Yeah, I'm sorry, Pete, you're asking a lot. You're asking a lot. Well, you know, people, you know that people dial in to be offended. You know they do that. Like, let's see what he said. I'm gonna get riled up. Or the cats who now, like, hey, I'm gonna go dial in and I'm gonna be doing a transcript of what this person is saying.
Yeah.
And then go for it line by line to see what I can use. Cause this guy gets me so riled up at, you know, every day. Like, you know, you two, it's like, what was this guy's name? You remember Don Imus?
Yeah.
This guy said stuff for decades that was off the wall, insulting, you know, borderline this and over the line that. And when they finally got him for what he said, I was like, you got him for that? You got him for that? After all this other stuff he said, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But, you know, that's how it works. They never muted him or dialed him out. They tuned in every day.
Yeah.
They tuned in to hope that would be the day that they could get him.
So, well, that's a point, because I think, you know, even though they looked at it like he was just being a buffoon, but during the John Imus thing, who was it? Patrice O'Neill was pushing to say, hey, you can make a mistake, you can say the wrong thing, but the thing is, Imus is trying. Everyone's trying to be funny. It all comes from the same spot, the place. And he was able to torch the woman who was of this sort of group, but also he was on there with is it Eric, not Eric Dyson, the other guy, I forget the other guy, but Patrice was on with him, and then at some point the other guy was kind of going at Patrice, and Patrice turned to him and said, look, they're trying to get us to argue with each other now about this. They're trying to put us in the box, and now we're doing exactly what they want us to do. That's what I'm trying not to do with you, brother, like that sort of thing, where it's like, you can get, the thing of it is where someone just takes a hard line and goes, this is black and white now. And that's where it gets kind of lost in your thing, where they're just like, you know, because the only thing I was going to say was, I was on Facebook and someone was saying, shut the F up. And he like said it twice. And then I went there and it said block, and it said, if you can see, you know, he won't see you and you won't see his next text. And then it gave me a half a second to think, oh, do I want to see the other person's text? I don't even notice it, and block. And then it's gone for your life. So if he's saying something to you, or if you're waiting for, like, I don't know, but if you're waiting for the moment where you can then go and say, I'm going through this. The hard part is people are really groomed. Like the way they showed it in Regretfully, the only description I can show you is Different Strokes, where someone develops a push-pull relationship where they offer you these things and then like a pimp. And then the pimp says, now you have to pay for this. That's the thing. Now, at the same time, you can say guys have had that relationship with women, but most of the time, like a good portion of the time, when a guy is taking them out and goes that and they don't get anything, the guy gets upset and he might try to say something and they get shut down. They have to go home, right? You can do, you know, but the real ones are when they have someone who's putting someone in a place that has nothing and they kind of push them in there. That kind of grooming is the thing that we need to deal with and not say, hey, this guy said some jerky stuff that he's weird and I don't want to deal with him. I don't want to listen to his show. That's the thing where you say he's an asshole and just say, I think Ed Pisco is an asshole. And I'll tell you why. And it's like, well, were you grooming? Like, no, he's just an asshole. Look at the stuff he said. But then at the same time, when you're joking back, when he says no, naughty girl, it's like, come on, man. Like, you're liking some of the stuff. And then at some point you decide, oh, I didn't like this. Or Warren Ellis, you know, talking to somebody on there and they say, oh, he was helping them. But at the same time, trying to get somewhere with them. And it's just like, you know, what do you do in these days when you're not, when someone, you know, you're having a conversation? It seems really crazy, and it's making the people who are, I don't know. It's too much to be like, we're all each other's big brother, and we're all ready to throw each other to the dogs immediately. Now, if you say, that's the thing, I don't know. The hard part is when you have someone that's into pushing buttons, and when I was younger and I was like 19 and someone close to me, he was pushing buttons. He was saying the most salacious things you could say. And we were family. And we were like, he was saying the most salacious thing we say, but we hadn't hung out in like a long time. So he was just pushing buttons. And I just turned to him and I was like, there's stuff that we possibly should have, and maybe that's something not right in me, but I just said, you know, why are you saying this? And then he stopped. And then we moved on from there. We had a relationship like we had when we were younger, but there's a large gap. I said to myself, I don't know if we were cool because it was such a lot, it's like a 6 or 7 year gap. And then he was just saying the craziest things that I, you know, that was so all off the wall. And then it was like, you know, for me to be like, maybe I shouldn't F with him. And then I just said, why are you saying this? And he stopped doing it. And we were, you know, we were hanging out. We were inseparable when we got together as family, you know, when we were together. So it's like, sometimes, you know, I know we want to point, you know, find the bad person. Sometimes people are just, that's how they do it. And you need to tell them, hey, you know, I'm all for the F off. Someone says something to you. There's so many people on thing when they say, hey, I'm sorry to have to use the black women as an example. When someone says to you, you look pretty for a dark skinned girl, you don't go to the blog and say, this guy says X and Y. You tell a person to F off. Tell them, I don't like this. I don't like how you talk. Tell the people directly. Don't go to the web. And then if they do something out, they do something that's criminal, go to the police after that. But say something. And I'm saying, I'm been someone even recently today where I should have said something. And I handled it where I went to the UPS people and I made a complaint. But I had the opportunity to make a complaint. You talking to someone directly or you're in a text message, there's enough time to think about it and saying, F you, or I didn't like this. Say something to them directly so they can understand it, they can take it in, and they could possibly apologize. Then you know they're a true a-hole if they don't apologize or they take it in or do something worse. Then you can say this, that, and other. If the conversation is questionable, tell them about it. Like, not, hey, I'm gonna get a crowd. And then you get a crowdfunding thing where people are just joining in and piling on and saying, yeah, we're with you. He said, naughty girl, and they go, and whatever you feel and that sort of thing, it's not to attack the person who did the stuff like that, but at the same time, sometimes you have to say something to the people if you don't like what they're saying. You have to, you know. In my opinion, you do. You got to.
Well, why say something when you can just keep the thing going and trap them and then get a whole army of people behind you to come and assail them?
And
you know, what you said earlier about, hey, if you didn't like a show, you didn't tune into the show. You stopped tuning in. I don't like it. Why? Because he said this type of stuff. And, you know, you used to have these groups like, no, don't tune into these shows because so on and so forth. And everybody was like, no, don't do that. You know, watch it for yourself. And if you don't like it, just tune up. If you don't like it, don't watch it, which I didn't necessarily agree with either. I said, look, if it's bad content, why would you want to put it out there anyway? But then you have the other dynamic where you have people who tune into stuff because they want to be offended, whether they want to admit it or not. That's why you have shock jocks. Let's see how outlandish we can get with this particular thing. And then, you know, of course, but then you got the people who are tuning in and they're being entertained by how outlandish it is. And you got the other people who are tuning in because they're offended on a regular basis. But then, hey, you know, at no point are they going to open up a dialogue. They're like, no, I'm out to get you. I don't like this. And so I'm out to get you. And now that I'm out to get you, you know, the second I can't, okay, fine. Okay. And then I'm not going to come over here and do one-to-one. No, I'm going to pile on. Okay. I'm going to pile on. So you're just totally tsunami. Okay. With the attack that I bring. And there you are. And that is a good, I think that's a good enough description for where we are today, where when it comes to these, you know, it comes to these type of situations. And, you know, again, for me, the biggest thing is like, when I heard about the whole thing and I heard about how quickly, you know, it unraveled and just the lack of, just the lack of overall humanity at the end of the day for it. You know, we've got structures in place that, you, like you say, you know, you can tell someone, hey, what did you say? Go to hell, you know, go to hell, block, and that's it. And you move on at the end of the day. And it seems now people are more interested in taking a scalp. And that is the harder part of this for me, because normally I might say, well, yeah, you know, dude, you know, inappropriate, shouldn't have done that. But the extreme nature of how, you know, it becomes like, you know, the internet cops, if you will, you know, to come after him. And then the end result is, well, is that what the end result is supposed to be? He's supposed to be dead? He's really supposed to be literally canceled? Is that what the end result is supposed to be? It's like, it's just so shocking, you know, for me to see it at the end of the day. And, I'm going to end up getting tongue tied because, you know, because now, you know, again, this is someone who, I said it before, I believe has more value than just the show he's producing. But then, you know, my heart goes out to his father who's lost a child. You know, this is still his child. This is still his son at the end of the day. And there's no consideration for that. The same way that there's going to be consideration for the girl being underage, is there any consideration further than that? Or just, you know, for that, you know, thing at the end of the day? And it's just very shocking to me that, you know, you read some of the comments that people say, and, you know, they're horrible. Just ultimately horrible for a situation that you cannot even judge because you don't even have all the information about it.
Yeah, and we're stuck with the, you know, regretfully, the crime of the age gap is becoming something that's actionable. Like, the gap between people is like now the new thing where it's, you know, regretfully to say, I don't know, it's like, who's it, who's that guy? Larry David, he had an episode where this like young girl got Larry's phone number and she just got a phone. So she was like, I'm gonna text you, Larry. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And he like looked at the text. He's like, what, you texting me? This is terrible. Like, I don't text people. And he puts it down. And then all the other people say, Larry, you're not responding to her text messages. And he's like, what? I don't text people. He's like, Larry, that girl is over there hurt. She's hurt. And then next thing you know, he gets into a text thread where he's just chatting with her all the time. And he goes to the doctor and he's like, yeah, he's like, you know, he's always open about everything. Yeah, she just always texts me. I don't normally text, but he's like, how old is this girl? Oh, I think, I don't know, 13. She just got a phone to text him back. And then they call someone. And it's like, that's the two angles of it, where at some point, you know, you're looking at it, things are shifting where someone, you know, I don't know, it's the thing is that guys out there, you know, when they show up in the DMs, you know, get some Get some ID. Even with the ID, if you're our age, they're going to be counting the years and being like, wait a second, this is that grooming. It's like you were talking to someone that was way out of your, way out of your age range. You should only talk to people that are in your age range. And it's like, it might not always be like that. It's like we're in the thing, but it's hard going back to this because we've gone the thing. It's sad that that he is definitely not here. He had some great works that he had done that sort of that definitely Hip Hop Family Tree came out of the blue, and it felt like something. The even though it was like it was still it was cynical. We didn't have anything else for the hip hop that kind of showcased it like this. And at the same time, hip hop is kind of cynical, so it kind of worked with the art form. So it's like he get, it was through a website that he originally did this, and he published it on seemingly something that was not newsprint, but something close to it. So he really brought something that was, I feel important to hip hop, the grand design a little less so, but an interesting sort of thing. And it was interesting to see, as far as self-publishing, where he was going to go with it, working with Fantagraphics and working with Marvel and these other people, and being into paper and all that stuff and printing and all that, bringing aspects that we didn't know about. And it's sad that through if it like the how the how he likes to sound and how he likes to talk. And try, not trying to be cool, but that cool aspect and being cynical and all that has kind of worked against him with this person, and it turned into him being a little too much into the internet because he took these things to the, mind you, it's hard to say it. I know people, everyone talks about struggling with the negative comments. The internet is not always real, and you have to unplug as best you can, as long as you're not, I can't say this for, I can't say it for someone like Dahmer. When you're not Dahmer and you're ready to defend yourself, please continue to defend yourself. And I'm sorry that he's gone. And I'm, no matter if we come after us for saying, being, on the other side, you got to say rest in peace. I really did wish he wouldn't have done this.
Agreed, agreed. And again, I don't think, I just don't think it's that big of a deal to treat a human being like a human being, regardless of what they do. If not, then what we're pretty much just saying is like, yeah, you got carte blanche to treat people however you want, and when they treat you in the same breath, hey, that's what you know, that's what you've given credence to. Let the punishment let the punishment fit the crime, if there even is a crime. And if you want to socially check someone, can we socially check them with a bit more humanity than them going after them like in a horde, to the point where the person feels they've got no place to go. And then I remember, there was this comedian, and she had this picture of Trump, and she had like his head cut off in her hand. Yeah, and so I was telling, people were like, oh, they hate Trump, and they hate Trump. I was like, wait. I was like, this is a nation that has a history of assassinating its presidents. Okay, I said, that's number one. And I said, and number two, I was like, no, he's got a wife, he has children, they got to see this and worry about their father. I said, that's not cool. I said, you can totally dislike the guy for his politics, but that right over there, like wishing death on him, you've literally got a bloodied head in your hand. You literally got, I said, that's not cool at the end of the day. I said, you can really dislike this guy, you don't have to go that far. And you don't know who you're inspiring when you do that type of stuff. And no, it's not humorous. Okay, it's not humorous when you do stuff. To keep that in mind when you're dealing with people, that you can vociferously disagree with someone and what they've done, okay, without pushing it to that point, okay, where it gets to the point of no return. That is the big thing. That is the big thing that I'm after. Okay, you really, if you're really about justice at the end of the day, that has to be a part of it. Not like, not just, oh, you get what you get. All right. That's never a good end. That's never a good ending for anyone.
Yeah, so I see the the Kayfabe show has started to show some more episodes, so they're kind of a little eerie, still seeing
Really?
Yes, it's annoying he's gone, and the show starting up again. We'll see what it becomes. They were almost at 100,000, and that's really not in the case of him being here or not. But just say definitely, as far as the YouTube market, it did a lot of stuff that you got to respect. So, all right then, Spinnerack.
We're out. Ed Pisker, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.